Sunday, August 1st. How can the summer have flown so swiftly? In July, I am rich with the feeling of time that is mine. In August, already, the shadow of a busy fall begins to hover over me. But Peter Hurd came over from the Lewis, but there was too much confusion, too many people, and telephone calls to have a proper sitting. Peter had set up shop in the dining room where there's a wonderful light from the picture window. With Henriette's critical eye and help, he feels he's made progress in a sketch in the background. He still wants to put the capital in it, although small, just as a symbol. We got off in a great flurry for church, 9 of us in the station wagon, others following, the Goldbergs and the Herds with us, Califanos, Busbys, Jesse Kellum, stopping by to pick up Jesse Hunter, Bob Goldberg and his date, Vicky and Yolanda. At the door, we met all the Morrison family. A.W., Mary Allen, Will, grown to 5'10", and primly dressed little Mary. It was an entourage, and when they started passing the communion plate on the Johnson Rose, I could hardly keep from giggling. At least 3 Jews, Arthur and Dorothy and their son Robert, I do not know about his date, and certainly 2 Catholics, the Califanos. Bob. Brother Aiken's helpers, pausing in front of everybody with the bread and the wine, would simply shove it a little closer for a moment until they understood the gentle shake of the head. I looked at urbane, sophisticated Bob Akers, strangely out of place in this little church. Lyndon has certainly shaken things up around Johnson City, indeed around much of this nation. As we filed out of church, I was speaking to everybody, and one lady reminded me that we had met in Paris. I kept on responding with such vast errors as, "Oh, I guess you must have been connected with the embassy," or, "I bet that was the time that we were over for the NATO conference," only to find that she meant Paris, Texas. Outside were hundreds of tourists, all with cameras, piled in our cars, Lyndon driving, and rode past the co-op building. Arthur Goldberg, whose conversation is always full of juice to me, asked me if I knew what Lenin's definition of communism was. I glibly said, "From each according to his ability, to each according to his needs." "No," said Arthur. He gave an early definition of communism as electric power. We went through Lyndon's boyhood home, along with about 50 visitors, and I took delight in introducing the Goldbergs to all the Blanco County lady hostesses who give so generously of their hours to make this project possible. I hope meeting such people adds a little spice to their job. And then home with the press in tow, gallons of coffee and huge pans of oatmeal cookies coming out of the oven, I convoyed them to the front yard while the press assembled on the benches and passed them around. I like doing this myself sometimes. It was a brief meeting. Lyndon announced that he had named Bob Akers as the new deputy director of the United States Information Agency. Bob and his wife, Seville, had been traveling for 14 months through Yugoslavia and Egypt and Lebanon and Syria, Jordan, Israel, Turkey, and Greece. It had taken the FBI to find him in Corfu, Greece. It would have been hard to have gotten me away from Corfu. I'm glad he's taken the job. I think he will be a credit, and he and Leonard Marks ought to make a can-do team. At lunch, I asked Arthur to give the blessing. It was a beautiful, poetic one that ended with a quote in Yiddish. The Goldbergs had announced that they needed to get back to Washington, so we had to quickly catch the courier plane that had already left Bergstrom some 15 minutes before, with Linda and the courier aboard, have them return and wait for the Goldbergs. Linda's relations with airplane are just like a sad little character in Little Abner with an unpronounceable name, like Zeus, to whom everything bad happens. On orders, the plane returned to pick up the Goldbergs, and after a couple of hours' wait, started out again, only to discover some 30 minutes in the air that they had engine trouble, and back they came once more. So it was nearly supper time before they were finally en route to Washington, with a few calls to me from Linda every time they were on the ground to share her predicament. And so the crowd began to melt away. Bob Akers had returned with the Goldbergs. The Peter Hurds, feeling that they had done all they could that weekend, made arrangements for an early morning flight to New Mexico and left us for the rest of the afternoon. And I began to think it would be a quiet, Lie in the hammock, watch the leaves and the clouds and the flapping flag, that sort of an afternoon. But I didn't count on my husband's appetite for people. Fresh recruits soon began to arrive. Vicky McCammon's family was en route to Mexico. Lyndon had asked them to stop by for a cool drink and soon extended it to spending the evening with us on the lake. Mr. and Mrs. McCammon and three of her brothers,
Vicky's brothers and sisters,
Scout Sissy Morrissey and Tony Sargent, and we all went to the Haywood boating. I very inhospitably curled up in the cabin on the bed with a good book, Portrait in Brownstone by Louis Auchincloss, and left everybody else to enjoy sundown on Packsaddle Mountain. Sometimes there is a necessity to be quiet, not to talk, to just sit and think or read. And then, when it was getting dark and we were close back to the Haywood, I jumped off the big boat and swam across the lake to the opposite landing, a Dr. Brock's, and then swam back all the way to our boathouse. The water was like silk, soft and caressing and sensuous. I felt like I could swim forever. The sky was fading twilight. It's very hard to see a swimmer when you're in a fast boat. And for once, I was glad that there were Secret Service boats that could get between me and any speeding sport lovers. There's nothing to give you a feeling of self-control, self-assurance, of being able to face life and love it, like exercise. And swimming in a lake where you can go on and on and watch the sky and the birds and lose yourself in peace, it's something I love dearly. It was a late dinner, about 10 o'clock. And then, with bountiful praise to Mary and James, whose vacation will probably be shoved back a couple of days because of our visit, we helicoptered home to the ranch. Jesse and I, while on the boat, had worked out a little arrangement to give James and Mary some extra money to make their vacation gayer. Mary tells me she's coming to Washington to bring the children next year. Almost, I want to tell her, don't wait.